Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. In case you haven't figured it out, I'm going to be sharing this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Exciting this morning. We have three babies here this morning. Do you see that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Of course, my favorite is Eliza Hope, but praise God. Huh? I am prejudiced when it comes to that. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. We are going to be sharing this morning on the power of believing, which I believe at this point is the it's the most important belief. Believing is the foundation of life. Let's go. Praise God. Got a lot to cover here. Praise God. So, we live what we believe. You know, if you think about your life, you are living. Your life is about what you believe, you know? And you say, well, no, there's things going on I don't want. No, but generally, our life is about what we believe. And the thing is, you know, most of our beliefs that are, you know, they're now subconscious or unconscious beliefs, the beliefs in our heart, most of them were established by the time, you know, the first 5-6 years of our life. So we can, you know, we live our lives based on things that happened to us that we don't even remember what happened, you know. But, to me it's the great equalizer with God, because, you know, you have, even Christians, you know, you have to eat this way, you know, to be healthy, you have to eat this way, you know, the whether it's the world or, you know, and you think about it, you know, and there's the various Christian diets, you know, the God-ordained diets, you know, you have to eat that way to be healthy and that kind of thing. But, you know, and then you have to do, you know, we have different things that we have to do, you know, you have to have this. But if you think about it, you know, God is a fair God, right? God is a just God. So would God be fair if he says, you know, the American Christian, you know, you can afford this food, and so you can eat this way, but somebody that's in, you know, Uganda, is Uganda even exist anymore? I don't know. That used to be an African country for you younger ones. I don't know if it still is or not. But, you know, they live out in this, who knows where, you know, that you figure that, you know, 500 years ago, did anybody know this is what I was supposed to eat? Can I afford, do I have to eat a certain way? And it's just one of those things that to me is, God's not like that. God doesn't give, okay, you can be healthy because you can eat right, but you can't be because you can't eat right, you know. This little side trip, so to me, believing our beliefs, we're all equal. Because we all have the same opportunities. It doesn't matter rich or poor, you know, fat or thin, male or female, we all have the ability, as we're going to see, we all have the opportunity to believe what we're going to believe, what we want to believe. And so it's to me, it's the foundation of what's going to determine our life. And so I want to share with you some stuff this morning, if nothing else, to get you thinking. Because, you know, you can keep your beliefs from now until Jesus comes, until you die and go home. You can stay with the same beliefs. You can stay. Your life can stay just like it is. You know, and a lot of times that's what happens because we're comfortable. We may not like our lives, but we're comfortable with it. You know, and we have this fear of the unknown. So anytime things start changing, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. So whether it's good or bad, I'm going to go back to what I'm comfortable with. So, like I said, if nothing else, it'll get you thinking this morning. Praise God. So we want to look at the Word, you know, and, you know, as Wayne did he's my new research assistant. So he, because since we changed software, I'm not good with our new software. So anyhow, so he looked up, you know, he did all these lists for me of all these scriptures of believe in him. And the word believe or believing or believest or believed, most of them are in the Gospels. You know, as you get through it into the epistles, there's less and less of them. So most of them are in the Gospels. So Jesus talked about believing the most in the Bible. So obviously, if Jesus talked about it, then it's important, okay? One of the things I want to share with you is there is now science is, there's a science now that's studying belief. Like, you know, there's all these variations of it. And there's, you know, I have one book that I was going to quote from, but it's, you know, it's like so big. So if you're into reading and studying, You Are the Placebo, it's a phenomenal book. But it's all about the science of belief. And what this, you know, what they are learning is, you know, we're going to look at it scriptures, but God ordained, this is just human. This is not believing, is not a Christian thing or a non-Christian thing. Believing is just, is part of, this is how God designed us. We believe things, you know. And we have separated it, you know, in this spiritual thing, but it's not. And so there's a lot of people who, you know, they have had very serious diseases. They have had very bad experiences in life. But simply because they learned how, through natural tools, to change their beliefs, they are healed. You know, they're having these phenomenal lives because they simply changed their beliefs. And there's all sorts of, you know, your physiology changes, your mind changes. Do you know that, you know, Wayne referred to some of this stuff recently. One messages he was teaching. But do you know, they did one study and with Parkinson's disease people, and you know, what is it, Parkinson's, you don't produce dopamine. I think that's the one. So there's drugs that, you know, you can take to help with that. But they did this study and they used placebos, and they told these Parkinson's patients that this was a drug one, but they told these Parkinson's patients that you are taking a new drug that's going to work. And so the patients believed them. And so they found that even though it was a sugar pill, it was a placebo, there was nothing in it, but even though they found that these patients with Parkinson's disease, because they believed that there was a drug that was going to make a difference, their body actually started producing dopamine, a disease that it does not produce anymore, but their body actually started producing. That's the power of belief. But see, in the church, you know, oh, I can't believe, this is hard. You know, we need to catch up with the world in some of our stuff. Because, the world is passing us out. But, and we have it in the Word. And you know, as we look at some of these scriptures, you're going to see, it was there all the time. I just didn't believe it. Okay? So let's start at the very beginning. Let's start at looking at John 3, 16. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. And so we start here with, you know, this is basically talking, you know, if you go on to 17 and 18, you can see basically that, you know, this is heaven or hell we're talking about. This is eternity we're talking about. He says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, not just the church. God prized the world. Why does these things work in the world? Because God loves people that much. God designed it. God designed us to heal ourselves. It's just learning how to tap into that, okay? So God greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten son, his unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. So I want to use several of these scriptures today. We're going to use out of the Amplified because it helps to, you know, give us more understanding of what the word believe actually means. And so believes in, believes, trust in, clings to, relies on. You know, belief is what is it? Belief is the verb of faith. Faith is the noun. Belief is the verb. So believing is the action of faith. Okay? And faith, you know, one definition of faith is immovable trust. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about trusting. You know, totally 100% trusting. When you believe something, you trust something or you trust someone. That's what we're talking about. And all of us, we have multitudes of beliefs on various things. Some good, some bad, but we, for whatever reason, because of our past, because of our experiences, whatever, we believe these various things, okay? So we see, we start with heaven or hell. Then, okay, so let's move on to salvation then. And let's look at Acts 8, verse 37. Acts 8, verse 37, once again in the Amplified, and it says, and Philip said, this was when Philip was talking to the eunuch, he says, if you believe with all your heart, if you have a conviction, and to me, well, let me read this first. If you have a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience, then you may. And he was talking about, can I be water baptized? And he replied, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So I want to go back and read this because, you know, so many times, you know, we've talked about this in the past, you know, we figure, you know, if I get somebody to pray the prayer, you know, then they're born again. But then we wonder why, you know, they don't make progress. They don't move forward. You know, they fall away. Or someone, you know, they go to church for a while and then, you know, I'm not interested in this, and they fall away. That's because this gives to me, I think, is a great definition of what it actually means to be born again. Believe with all your heart. If you have a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience. So there's more to it than just praying a prayer. Amen? But once again, it's believing. And believe with all your heart. Because that's where our beliefs are. You know, we can have what we look at as mental beliefs, but mental beliefs only last for a certain period of time. You know, so I believe that, you know, that I'm supposed to exercise. You know, I'm supposed to get up in the morning and walk, which I have not been doing for several months now, just to confess the sins of, you know, monk. But anyhow, but you know, so what happens? Why am I not walking? Because when I started out, my plantar fasciitis acted up in my foot, and so it took me several months to get over it. And so, needless to say, I got out of the habit. And so, to get back into the walking again, you know, it takes effort. But that's what happens. You know, I'm going to start dieting. I'm going to start eating right. I'm going to start doing this. And we do it for a certain period of time. But if we have a heart belief that is contrary, you know, if we don't have, yes, I just love this. Why do some people, you know, they just run for miles and miles? Because they have something inside them that has changed. They have this internal change that changed their belief that this is life to me. This is good. This is fun now. But most, you know, a lot of the times we, you know, we do these things because I know I'm supposed to do it. You know, it may be reading the word, it may be praying, you know, it can be a spiritual thing or a non-spiritual thing, but we only do it as long as, you know, we feel, you know, I'm strong, you know, I can do this. But we have a bad day, you know, things go wrong in life, and what happens? We dump it because it was just a mental belief. It was not a heart belief. And what I'm talking about today is heart belief. What is going on inside of us? And we're talking about our heart, we're talking about spirit and soul combined. So it's the God part of us, and it's the human part of us together. Those two together, that's where our beliefs, they're going to make the difference. Those are the things that we're actually living. We're just on automatic pilot. We just live out those beliefs. Okay. Let's see, another scripture for salvation. Once again, the Amplified, Romans 10. 9 and 10, classic one, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes. With the heart a person believes. You don't get born again in our heads. And too many times we like I said, we just get somebody to pray the prayer and we tell them that they're born again. Well, if there's not a heart change, then they're not born again. Because it has to be in the heart. Adhere to, trust it, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trust in, and relies on Christ. And so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. So once again, to get born again, it's a heart thing. It's a believing thing. It's not something I have to do. It's, you know, my action to my faith is believing. Okay? I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pray a certain prayer. It's what I believe. That determines my salvation. Okay, let's continue. Let's look at some things that, you know, indicates that we can go one way or the other. We can either have stress or peace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 in the Amplified. It says, for we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on God, do enter that rest in accordance with his declaration, that those who did not believe should not enter, when he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this he said, although his works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundation of the world. So when we believe what the word of God says, we do enter into rest. We do enter into peace. But if we don't believe what God has said, what the word has said, then we're full of stress. We're full of fear. We're full of, you know, not being in peace. And it's all, once again, tied together. What's in our heart? What do we actually believe? Another one, fear of faith. Luke 8:50, Amplified. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not be seized." And this is, we're talking about Jairus and Jairus' daughter in the scriptures. He says, "Do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe in me as able to do this, and she shall be made well." Key here, you know, we can't believe God and be in fear at the same time. You can't do both. You know, fear is believing. But fear is believing what is contrary to God, the opposite of what God says. That's fear. And we can't do both at the same time. But he says here, you know, this verse, he says, believe in me as able to do this. You know, it's not that I have to believe for, you know, that believing is, we're talking about the things of God, believing that somehow I'm going to make it happen. If I just really believe, you know, if I just really, really, really hard, I'm just really, really going to, really hard, I'm when I really believe, that it's going to happen. No. You know, that's one of the places we've got off track. He says, believe in me that I'm able to do it. All I have to do, believe is, Jesus, yes, you do it. You said you can do it. You said you will do it. I believe in you. I believe. I believe God. I believe. God, you said this. I believe your word is true. I believe you. That's what I don't have to do anything. I just have to believe the one who is capable of doing it. Makes a world of difference. Believing in my, you know, use the statement, having faith in your faith. That's where I got hung up, you know. And, you know, that's where my problem was. You know, I believe God could do it. But believing my faith, you know, and then realizing it's so simple. I don't have to do any. I don't have to do anything. I just believe that God will do it. Praise God. Makes a world of difference. Then I can be in peace. Okay. Another thing I want to look at is we control our believing. You know, we control whatever we believe. We are in control. We need to take personal responsibility for what we believe. And like I said before, we can't say, okay, well, things are going bad in my life, but, you know, God is teaching me something. Oh, there's times now I just want to scream when I hear that, you know. Or let me put it the other way, you know, and get mad at me if you want. But, you know, Satan's doing this in my life, and Satan's causing this. And, you know, it's you know, we just have it, Satan, Satan, Satan. We focus on Satan, we're not moving forward. I guarantee it. I've lived it. When we focus on Satan, we're focusing on the wrong thing. Satan, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I have come to the realization Satan is not my problem. Amen. Satan is not your problem. Is Satan real? Yes. Are demons real? Yes. Do they cause problems in a lot of people? Do they cause a lot of people to do evil things? Yes, yes, yes. Is Satan my problem? No, he is not. Amen. Why? Because I recognize Jesus defeated him. He's not my problem. I don't care what happens. Satan is not my problem. The only problem I have is what I believe. That's where I need to focus. Changing on whatever my beliefs are contrary to the word of God. I change my beliefs and everything is great. So let's look at Luke chapter 24, verse 25 in the Amplified once again. And Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull of perception, and slow of heart to believe. Adhere to and trust in and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken." We choose how soon we're going to change our beliefs, or if we are. You know, with the difference in how we've been teaching the past couple of years, I know there are people in this congregation who do not agree with it, do not understand it, and I'm not going to name names, but I can just tell. I don't want to. You know, I'm comfortable where I am. You know, this is what I've been believing for years. The word may say something different, but I don't see it that way. And I must be right, and you must be wrong. Anytime we get to that point that I'm right, I don't care if it's, you know, spiritual things or not, you know, non-spiritual things, we are shutting ourselves off to anything positive in our lives. We're shutting ourselves off. So, when I, you know, decide that I am going to take my time, obviously, then my beliefs are not going to change. My life is not going to improve and line up with what God says. Another one, it says, but the ones on the rock are the, oh, sorry, Luke 8, 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, and we're talking about the parable of the sower. This is one of the scriptures in the middle of that. Those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. So, you know, when we are born again, this is what I believe. If you, you know, this is what I believe. When we get born again, I believe that we are instantly, you know, changed. You know, we're totally become, the word says we become totally a new person, a new being. But when, you know, to me that's an instant change. Different people manifest on the outside that change. Some people manifest more of that change on the outside than others, okay? But then, from then on, we determine by our beliefs and by what we do is whether we're going to keep moving forward or we're going to move forward, fall back, or, you know, fall back, move forward, you know, back and forth, which sadly is what most Christians do. You know, we get excited when we're first born again and we start moving forward, and then for the most part, religion steps in. And religion, you know, we hear these things and we go to a church and we're excited about the church, but we buy hook, line, and sinker whatever that church is speaking. And that, you know, that church may be speaking the word, or it may be some word, some religion, or mostly religion, you know, it's, you know. And so what happens is we start losing what we received when we were born again instead of making progress. So like this person here, you know, when they believe for a while, when things are going good, but then, you know, something goes wrong, you know, a temptation comes, and because they don't have the understanding of how to work, that we are the righteousness of God, that I am more than a conqueror, that I'm victorious, that I'm an overcomer, we don't have an understanding of what the word actually says about us. So, you know, people fall away because there's nobody there to, you know, to bring them on, teach them. So once again, we are in control. Another scripture, Mark 16, 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as he sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Do you realize this is the apostles? The 11? The 11 who had been with him for 3.5 years? The 11 who had, you know, everything he had told them, he had been, you know, they experienced everything that he had done. But it says here, he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. And that's what happens to us. If we don't move forward, we move backward. And we get into unbelief and eventually hardness of heart. You know, there's that Ephesians chapter 4 downward spiral. So, you know, thinking about this, recognizing that if this could happen with the disciples, it can happen to anybody. I mean, I don't know of any person who has experienced what the disciples experienced, you know, being physically with Jesus. Every miracle, and John says there's not enough space in the world for the books to be written about everything Jesus did. And he told them over and over again, they had the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. They had been taught since they were kids about what God said about the Messiah. They believed that he was the Messiah. But then they turned around, and just like that. So I think that's a message to us, that we never arrive. It's a daily thing, you know, to have that softness of heart, to be open to what God has speaking to us. But we are in control of what we believe. Okay, so now let's move on to some promises, some of the things that God says that we, you know, it's, well, let's go on and do this, okay? Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to him, and this was when he came back off the Mount of Transfiguration with the Father and the Son, is when he spoke, he's speaking to the Father. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Do you realize there is no, this guy was not born again, so he's not speaking to Christians. Now, we presume this guy's a Jew, or we don't know this guy's a Jew. We don't know for sure whether this guy's a Jew or not. He doesn't, we would presume he is, but. So there's no spiritual parameters that is on this. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Why do people who are not born again accomplish these great things? Why do people who are not born again receive these phenomenal healings? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Why did the Wright brothers, you know, invent airplanes? Why did Thomas Edison do, you know, all the inventions he did? Why did Bill Gates accomplish what he has accomplished? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. This does not just say Bible. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Why is these, you know, tremendously evil things done just as well as these positive things? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And we limit our lives so much because of what we believe. I don't have an education. I don't have the money. I don't have this. You don't know my past. I can't do this. I can't do that. If you, because that's what we're believing. So our lives are filled with the possibilities of what we have believed. You know, I was reading a story about Thomas Edison, and then Wayne was reading another story about Thomas Edison. And the one I read was, you know, I don't remember how many things that he invented, you know, how many patents. But, you know, what did you read? You read, let's see, how does yours go? Yeah, his mother, you know, he was in grade school, because what I read, he never finished grade school. You know, his mom homeschooled him. This is Thomas Edison. But Wayne read this story, and we don't know for sure if this is true, but we're going on the presumption this is true. But he went to school, and his teacher sent home a note with him. And so the mother read the note to him, or told him that the teacher said, you are a genius, and don't know how to teach you, so you need to have, you know, your mother needs to teach you. That's what his mother told Thomas Edison, the note said. So when he grew up and his mother had died, he found this note, and what the note actually said, he is addled, which an old word would be, in, you know, he has mental problems. He's incapable of learning of what the note would actually said. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Parents, first 5 years of a child's life, most important part of their whole life. Because we determine what they believe. Because, I mean, it starts before they're born. You know, what's going on in our lives? Our kids are, you know, in the womb, you pick up what your parents are going through. You pick up the stress. You pick up everything. You wonder why certain times of the year, you know, you have issues. A lot of people have trouble around their birthdays because things happened when you were in the womb. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Another one, Mark 11, 23 and 24. You've heard enough of this one over the years. For assuredly I say to you, Jesus is speaking, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus says, whoever says to this mountain, why would you want to dump a mountain? But Jesus said, if you believe, you can make this mountain move. What would be the point? But Jesus said, if you believe, you can make this mountain move. But we spiritualize it, you know. But Jesus said, if you can believe, you can make this mountain move. And it's not, it does not say what God says. It says what comes out of your mouth. If you believe, you know, believe and confess. Because that's what comes out of our mouths, what we believe, you know. You know, when things go wrong, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? That's what you actually believe. You know, it may take you a while to get, you know, okay, the spiritual, the good, I'm supposed to say the positive stuff now, but what you actually believe comes out first. So, he says, who says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have. Whatever he says. There's nothing spiritual there. You know, if you don't agree with me, praise God, that's fine. You know, you study it out and you come back and show me scripturally where what I'm saying is wrong this morning. I have no problem with that. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. So in other words, you know, this is true for everybody. You know, you speak to the mountain, you believe, you speak to the mountain, you confess it, the mountain's going to go. So then he says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. You know, if this is true, well then, I love you guys. You know, God loves you. So if this is true, then anything you ask me for, I'm going to give it to you. Because this is true for anybody. Anybody that believes and speaks to the mountain is going to go. So ask me. Because I want to give you good things. I want to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. But it's what determines on what you believe. And when you believe, when we ask believing, you know, a whole lot of it, you know, so much of the time we ask God for things and nothing happens. Why? Because, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, it's like the magic formula. Okay, I'm in need now. But our whole life has been, we believe contrary to that, but we think this, you know, and so God let me down. You know, we make up all these excuses of why it didn't happen or, you know, that doesn't work. No, because we never believed it in the first time. It's when we believe what we're asking for. It says God will give it to us. Okay, another one. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And you notice it doesn't say God will condemn him. He brings condemnation on himself. And these signs will follow those who believe. And then in here he says, you know, believe, and then there's a colon, and then says, in my name they'll do this stuff. I you know, I've heard it taught this way, and to read this, it makes more sense to me if you would say, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. If I believe in his name, if I believe what you know, the word of God says, then, you know, then they're going to cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up servants. They'll drink. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So the people that believe in his name, you know, to believe. So if I believe in his name, you know, then if I need to be born again, you know, to accomplish all of this. But once again, what do we believe? It all comes back to what we believe is going to determine what happens in our lives. So we sit here and we say, okay, I recognize I don't believe the word like I should, then what am I supposed to do about it? Well, first I'm going to give you a scripture answer, and then we're going to look at a list of to give you some suggestions. So the classic one is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. We've talked about it numerous times, and this is the classic on how you can change your beliefs. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, put off anything that is not of God, and if I don't know what that is, I need to renew my mind. I need to find out what God actually does say, what, you know, what actually is true for me. And then when I know what that is, then I put that on. You know, there's various ways that we, you know, various tools. You know, we've talked about meditation. We've talked about, you know, you can write it, you can speak it, you know, but renewing our mind is a thing between us and God. It's not, you know, I don't renew my mind by, you know, I don't, confessing is not, you know, telling you what I believe. Confessing is about renewing the mind. There's a term he uses. I can't remember what it is. But how we've looked at confession, because true confession is I already believe it, and that's what automatically comes out of my mouth. But to get to that point, we're talking about, you know, I need to speak it. I need to hear it. I need to read it. You know, that's the process we need to go through. So, but putting off, renewing our mind, and then putting on what God says, that process. Now, and finally, I'm going to read a list, and this list is from a book, Anatomy of a Miracle, by Dr. James Richards. And this is some suggestions. So I would suggest you take one of these, or you can take this. It's a long list. So if you want to take more of them, will I give you the copy of the list? No, I will not. If you want the list, buy the book, which we don't have yet in the book room, but we will have. Great book, great book. But anyhow, these are some suggestions for you to use to help you change your beliefs. So are we ready for it? Hopefully we're going to have it up there so you can actually see them. Okay. First one, there are no limits, just beliefs. Change a belief and you move the boundaries. If you have any limits in your life, you know, whether it's, you know, financially, whether it's physically, whatever, things that don't seem to be happening, it says change your beliefs. That's it, and it automatically, what we change what we believe, it automatically changes the circumstances around us. Okay? Next one, nothing is too big. The size of the problem is only as big as the emotions you feel about the problem. Next one, choose the end you want. A lot of us, you know, we just look at, you know, it's, well, that's whatever. You know, it's this, you know, I did this, so this is what I'm going to get. No, we can make a new choice. We can change what we want. Okay? See it, imagine it, and experience it. And all of its associated positive emotions in every possible way. That's one of the ways he teaches about using meditation we need to get so we imagine we can see it happening. We can feel what it feels like, you know. If it's a physical thing, I can, you know, like Wayne talks about, you know, seeing himself walking, you know. You know, imagining, having the emotions. What would it feel like to have this happen? And the more we can do that, the faster our beliefs, you know, physically, you know, this is the science of it, the faster it will happen, the more that we can get the positive emotions tied in with what we're seeing and what we're imagining, what we're experiencing mentally. Because you know what, if you experience something mentally, your body does not know the difference between you experiencing something physically and actually experiencing mentally. The same thing. So that they've done these things and they've done these studies, well, they did... practicing shooting basketball. They had this team, and part of them actually shot basketball, what is that? Free throws. Actually did the free throws. They did another group of them. They actually just did it in their imagination, and both of them improved almost the same amount. Just the imagination, the power of using our imagination to change our beliefs. Okay, next one. Make the desired end more real than an opposing thought, feeling, circumstance, or evidence. And if you're going through something tough, this takes work. This takes effort. You know, when things are, you know, everything you're feeling is contrary to what God says, you may be changing by the minute. You may have to catch yourself by the minute, you know. Some of the stuff that I've been through not that long ago is just, you know, it's, okay, there's that thought again. No, and change it and just, no, this is what God says. No, I put this off, you know, and it may be a minute by minute thing. But if you don't do it, what do you got? You got more negative. So it's worth the effort, but it takes effort. Praise God. Okay, let's see. Never think of the desired end as something in the future. It must be present tense. Faith is now. Believing is now. We have to see it now. We have to see it as happening now. Anytime you see yourself thinking or speaking, what's going to happen, you're not in faith yet. Because faith is now. Now, maybe, see, you know, it's not manifested yet, but inside of you, you have all the feelings. You know it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen, but you know it's going to happen. That's when we're in faith. That's when we're actually believing. Okay. Harmonize your words, thoughts, feelings, and actions. Once again, that can take some effort, especially if you have a deep-seated belief that's been there for years and years and years. It may take some effort to change that belief. Next one, eradicate all doubt, belief in an opposing reality by focusing on the desired end. You know what we were talking about before, you know, well, you know, Satan did this and Satan did that. When we focus on Satan, we're focusing on the wrong thing. You know, why do so many, you know, so many people I've heard in the past, you know, they have these deliverance ministries and you know, that kind of thing. And it's all, you know, Satan this and Satan that. And, you know, I've heard of several who, you know, they got controlled by demons in the end. They lost it in the end. Why? Because if all your focus is on Satan, well, obviously, that's where your belief's going to go. You know, you know, the line that you used to hear, you know, well, new levels, new devils. Well, that may be true, but it doesn't affect me. God, Satan is still defeated in my life. I don't care what I'm called to. But what are we focusing on? What end are we focusing on? This one made a world of difference to me when I got a hold of this one. Never fight against doubt and negative feelings. Focus on the desired end. And that's a lot of what we did. You know, let's fight Satan. You know, I'm not going to think that. You know, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to think that. No, turn it around. Focus on God. Focus on the answer. You know, I've experienced this. You know, I focus on the negative, and then all I feel is more negative. And then, you know, then you feel more down. And, you know, and then it's, you know, what did I do wrong? And, you know, it just keeps going negative. But when I focus on God and focus on the answer, it can't do anything but get better. But I tell you from personal experience, it'll make a world of difference which way you focus, what you focus on. Negative feelings will change when the focus is changed. You know, what we focus on is going to determine what our feelings, you know, as we focus on something different. You know, that's what you think of the Psalms, and you think of how many in the Psalms. David starts out by, oh, it's bad, you know. This has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong. But God, and then the end of the psalm, what is he talking about? How wonderful God is, and what you know, great things God has done for him, and how just, you know, I just praise you, God. Psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm. Why? He changes focus. Whatever we focus on, that's what's going to be prominent in our life. I guarantee it. So what are you focusing on? Okay? Eradicate doubt by reconnecting to the positive feelings associated with the desired end. Once again, approach it from the positive, not the negative. Next one, make your mind work for you, not against you. Change your thoughts and your feelings will change. May take some effort, maybe more than, you know, take a few times of doing it, may take a lot of times of doing it, but it's better that than, you know, just keep going the way we're going. Mental rehearsal molds and grows new circuits in the brain. This is where the science comes in. That, you know, the science has now proven this. They have the tests that they can do this. They actually see how our thoughts, how our beliefs change our brain. Okay, let the body work for you. The brain's frontal lobe controls other parts of the brain. The image you hold of yourself controls what your brain does to affect the rest of your body. See and speak the desired end. Organize your life for the miracle that is on its way. We have to, you know, once again, it'll start changing, not just, you know, our thinking will change, and so we'll take different approaches to things as we start doing this. Always develop the heart. Beliefs of the heart are at least 5,000 times more powerful than thoughts of the brain. And that's scientifically, they've proven this. Daily renew your core beliefs, love, hope, and faith. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ every day, what the Word says about us every day. Daily release all feelings and thoughts of fear, condemnation, and doubt. If we don't deal with it, it's still there. Yeah, I don't care if it happened 40 years ago or if it happened yesterday. It's in our body with this thing called cellular memories. Every experience we've ever had is in our body, someplace in the cells of our body. They've proven that scientifically too. And so if, you know, if we don't deal with it, if we don't release the stress, if we don't release the forgiveness, if we don't deal with it and let it go, if we don't put off anything that's contrary to the Lord, it's in there. It's in there. You know, why does a disease show up? Why does cancer show up when all of a sudden, you know, this person's healthy and all of a sudden it shows up? It's not, it doesn't have to be. It's not in your genes. Well, it is in your genes, but that's a whole different topic. But, it doesn't have to. It's because there's things in us, and when we don't deal with them, eventually they show up in our physical body. They've seen it. They're proving the Bible scientifically over and over and over again. Be thankful about everything. When your miracle manifests, don't feed your ego by taking the credit. Be thankful to a benevolent creator who created the world and all that exists to make it possible for you to live the life of your choice. It's all about what we believe. And we have the power to change our beliefs. And we have the power of God in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, everything we could possibly need to have and live and experience the life that God has provided for us. But once again, what are we going to do? Whatever beliefs we have, that's what our life is going to demonstrate. So I encourage you this morning, start changing your beliefs. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God, start changing your beliefs so we will be a manifested testimony of the glory of God. Praise God. Rob?
Thank you, Diane. That was awesome. During the days, things happen. Maybe we get discouraged or something, and we may say, oh, I'm not feeling the way I'd like to, or I'm not feeling the way I should. Instead, we must take the I am. Learn this from Jim Richards when he told us to write everything down in a book, and from other people too, other ministers. And we said, we'll say, I am happy. I am anointed. I am joyful. I can do all things through Christ's strength in me. I have dunamis power. I am. I just say all that positive stuff. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we just say that every time we have a contrary thought, we say, no, I am healthy. I am joyful. I am a child of the Most High God, over and over. And just keep saying that stuff. And that'll bring the new beliefs into our heart, too. But you put off everything first. You really have to do that. Yeah, make room for and just rise ourselves up to the top of the glass in the name of Jesus. And we will, and we are prosperous people. I am happy, I am joyful, I am grateful, I am so excited to be here in the name of Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. One more key is when, you know, like Rob was saying, you know, make all those confessions, you know, this is who I am. When you make those and check out what you're feeling when you do it, because if you're feeling something that's, you know, the thought may be, yeah, but that's not really true, or the feeling may be an uncomfortable feeling, that's an indication that you have a belief contrary to that. So that means, you know, you need to deal with that belief, you know. There's a difference between just renewing your mind and yes, I agree with this, yes, I agree with this. But when you have some kind of contrary to feeling, that's the time to dig deeper and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is you actually need to deal with. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's praise and worship the source of it all. Amen.